Hey guys, we need each other as people, don't we? And yet we hurt each other as people. Community and family and friendship and society and church, they are so important to us, so important to well-being and meaning and safety, and yet they're the source of so much of our trouble and anguish as well. In the weird Bible book of Ecclesiastes, we've spent a bit of time in these video messages, but all through it, it talks about the troubles with people, and particularly in chapter 4, it raises all the kinds of challenges of oppression, the tears of the oppressed. Ecclesiastes 4 speaks about all the oppression under the sun, people who had no comforter, the power was on the side of the oppressor. It's sometimes better, it seems, to be dead than living, or even better still, to never have been born because of all the evil under the sun he speaks about. And he describes the tragedy of people who labour and struggle and toil. He says in verse 8 of chapter 4, there was a man all alone, neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes had not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling, he asked, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is a miserable business. That there is something pointless about striving in the world and in work and in politics and in study and sport, whatever, to get better, and then to be all alone out the other end. What's the point? So we do get that community and belonging is more valuable than being alone. He even goes on to say here in Ecclesiastes 4, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work, the beginning of a corporation. If one falls down, his friend can help him up, but pity the man who falls or the woman who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they'll keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. We protect each other, we support each other, we help each other, we leverage and amplify each other. And yet we hurt each other and we betray each other and we take advantage of each other and we manipulate each other and we oppress each other. You know, so at this time of having been isolated from a fair number of people, we both appreciate the people we have been able to see and we long to reconnect with people. And yet maybe also we sort of feel a bit relieved to have a break from some of the superficial chatter and socialising and some of the different kinds of human interactions that are more draining than rewarding. Not to mention the fact that as a whole society we're wondering what kind of leader makes a good leader and what kind of social societal structures produce well-being and flourishing and opportunity for everybody. Big questions, right? And Ecclesiastes is a book in the Bible models a philosophical way of being spiritual. That is, it's not so much a revelation from a God through a prophet, here is God's law, here are God's promises, but it's more modelling that godly spiritual people ponder and reflect life under the sun, and they observe, and they experience, and they lament, and they, you know, it's that book that realises that if you feel paradoxes and struggles and anger and despair, and then that is part of the human experience, you know what I mean? That's the kind of book it is. And so it's not like the book of Ecclesiastes, you just obey it, or that it's kind of neatly fulfilled. But it's questioning, and it's pondering, and it's observing, reaches a kind of fulfillment. In that, the gospel that Jesus preaches and brings, the salvation he achieves, body, soul, and spirit, in his own life, ministry, obedience, death, resurrection, and the hope that we have in store for those who turn from rejection of God and from sin and trust in God for forgiveness and follow God, that all of that includes living in God's world wisely and well, and struggling to figure out what it means to live in a way that honours God in God's world. As we look forward to, as well, God making everything new, repairing everything, restoring everything, God bringing out the revolution and the transformation that only God can bring. And so, in the gospel, we meet God himself, who is a God of love, that in the being of God there are these persons, these relations, Father, Son, and Spirit, of love within God himself, and his salvation to us is a work of love as God sends his Son by the power of his Spirit to save us and to draw us back into fellowship with God, communion with God, relationship with God, and then, hey, well, relationship with each other. We've got relationship now. As we come to know God, and then trusting in his Son, indwelt by his Spirit, we get to know each other. And so that we are the two who are better than one, the cord of three strands that's not easily broken, that we can lift each other up when we fall, we can keep one another warm as we comfort and support and care and challenge and help each other, you know. And so the church, salvation, and the church that salvation builds is an expression of the observations and the longings that Ecclesiastes writes about in Ecclesiastes 4. Of course, in this broken world, the church is still broken. And so the church also manifests the oppressions in small ways and big ways, and the abuses and the difficulties and sometimes the loneliness, as much as the rest of the world. And yet what we taste a little bit imperfectly in the church, and what we receive by faith in the gospel, is the hope we have in store, that ultimately we broken Christians in our broken church communities, in our groaning world, look forward to full fellowship, seeing God and Christ as he is, resurrected into a new creation of justice, of peace, of love, of community, of harmony, of belonging, of worship. Awesome stuff, hey? And so do draw near to people. It is true that people are a source of good and blessing from God. Do beware of people, because it's true that wicked, sinful people will hurt us. Don't be surprised at imperfection in community, in society, in family, in the church, even in the church. And so look forward ultimately to what God alone can restore in all its fullness, in the resurrection from the dead and the glorification of the church and eternity lived in just and joyful fellowship with God and with one another.